Tonight, though, at the New Age movement, and before we get into that, turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 is a passage that you probably know quite well, you're very familiar with, but I think some of the elements of what we're going to look at tonight is there in that particular passage. So John chapter 18 is the point where Jesus is coming before Pilate, and Pilate is questioning him. He's trying to get certain answers from him. And let's just pick that up in John 18. Let's look at verse 28. John 18, and we'll look at verse... I'll tell you what, let's shift all the way down to verse 33. Verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Verse 34. Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Verse 37, then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Now, as you look at that passage, Jesus is saying, "I have come, and I have come for a particular purpose. I have come," he's implying, "I have come to die for the sins of the world." But then he really clarifies it. He says, "I have come to show people the way or the truth." And Pilate looks at him and says, "Well, what is truth?" And so sometimes you and I think that this concept that we're here today, that there are no absolutes or there is no truth that you can certainly know. We think that's a new thing. No. Pilate, as he's looking at Jesus, says, "Well, what is truth?" In other words, what you say is truth could be different from what I say is truth. And so as you think about it, we've looked at humanism and we've looked at naturalism, and they say you can't know anything that is absolutely true. And so tonight we're going to look at the New Age movement, and really what they are is a mixture of naturalism and perhaps Hinduism and or Buddhism. So New Age is a mixture of kind of this whole naturalistic standpoint that you can't know what truth is, but it's also they're embracing some sort of religion or some sort of spirituality, and they tend to reach out to the Eastern religion. So they would like Hinduism, or they were like Buddhism, or some kind of combination of the two. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty, but it's a movie that Jim Carrey is in. And it says at the bottom there on the left, "In Bruce We Trust." And so the concept behind this movie is that Bruce Almighty becomes God for like a week or for a short period. And so as he is God, he does some things that are really not holy, but it's just to satisfy himself. And so as you sit here tonight and just imagine if you were God, what would you do? And what you see is, and perhaps this movie even is an example of that, we wouldn't do anything that was really great. We wouldn't do things that are good because we're not holy and we're not just as God really is. But as you think about it, that's the concept behind the New Age movement, because they do look at it and they say, "You are a God." They would say, "I am a God." And so that's the first concept you see there. The self is God, the center of everything. And so it is really, when you think about the New Age movement, it is built for our day and our culture, because some people go around and it's all about me. What do I want to do? What do I think is right? What do I think is wrong? And I make that decision. So at the bottom of it all, you can say it like this: self is God as far as the New Age movement is concerned, and the center of everything. Well, how do you think the New Age movement got its start? There's no major guru that they would say, "This is our leader," or "This is our God," if you will. But really, when you think of it, Shirley MacLaine is a person who describes what they believe a lot. She wrote a book called Out on a Limb, and I'm going to read you different segments from it tonight because it really does, I think, describe what they think and what they believe. I'm going to read you a quote actually from a book that she wrote called It's All in the Playing. It's All in the Playing. And this is what she says. I think it'll help us a bit. She says, regardless of how I looked at the riddle of life, it always came down to one thing, personal identity, personal reality. So, she's saying, as I've tried to find my way, as I've tried to figure out what I should do or what life is about, it all came down to what's my reality, what is my identity. She writes on, having complete dominion and understanding of myself was the answer to harmony, balance, and peace. So she says, me having control over myself was the way I was going to have, or I am to have, harmony, and I'm going to have peace. And listen to this. If I created my own reality, then on some level and dimension, I didn't understand. I had created everything I saw, heard, touched, smelled, tasted, everything I loved, hated, revered, abhorred, everything I responded to or that responded to me. Then I created everything I knew. I was therefore responsible for all there was in my reality. I was my own universe. Did that mean I had created God and I had created life and death? She continues on. Was this what was meant by the statement, I am that I am? Now, do you hear what she's writing there? She's saying, it's my reality. And so it's not just the way I view things. I put what is here that is here, I put it there. And so I am my own God, if you will. And so as you listen to what she writes there, you hear that she's saying, I myself define reality, define what is right, define what is, if you will. In other words, I am my own God. And as you read what she's written, and when she did write it, people looked at her as kind of out there a little bit. But I think if you look at some of the things she's written and you look at the whole concept of the whole New Age movement, it's kind of mainstream today. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. The New Age movement is basically impossible to define. So as we go through, we're going to say, well, it's this or it's that. It's just some concepts, but it's really hard for us to define it. We can't go and say they've got a church. There's no certain leader. There's no geographical location where it started. But let's do talk a little bit about the history of the New Age movement. And, of course, when we talk about the history of it, it goes back to the 60s. And we need to tell our children, folks, study the 60s, because a lot of things happened in the 60s. Now, this was not when I was at Free Will Baptist Bible College, but when I went to school at Middle Tennessee State, one of my professors said, if you guys missed the 60s, I feel sorry for you. And I thought to myself, I really don't feel sorry for myself. But anyway, she was saying, if you missed all the things we did that she did, you know, in the 60s, then you just really missed it. The 60s sparked a fusion of East and West. And here's a picture of the Masters of Rock psychedelic 60s. But do you notice anything particular about that picture that just jumps out to you? All right, you talk about the boxes, what else? The eye at the top is something that, you know, so it's pure 60s, but it could also be pure New Age as well. People could describe it as them as well. So first of all, you've got the 60s, and you've got the turbulence, and you've got this whole kind of cheap, easy believism where there are no absolutes, and I want to do what I want to do. The other thing you saw is the relaxation of immigration laws. And so we used to control real strictly who came to America and who didn't. And so what happened in the 60s was they allowed a lot of folks from Asia to come. Tibet, places where folks followed Buddhism and folks followed Hinduism and so forth. And so with the rise of that, what you see is more and more of that kind of influence coming along. Then you saw music groups like the Beatles, okay? And I will not ask who remembers the Beatles, but the Beatles were a big splash, weren't they? And this next picture is depicting when they went to India and they started talking to some of the gurus and so forth that were there. And folks say that you can look at the music of the Beatles, and I started to play some of it for you, but I changed my mind. But anyway, they said you could look at the music of the Beatles, and this is the song, Hey Jude. And they say you can see a difference between pre-India and after India. And so, for example, here are the lyrics to Hey Jude. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, and then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You are made to go out and get her the minute you let her under your skin. And anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, and you get it. There's the refrain. Now the point is, Jude, you decide what you want to do. You decide what you don't want to do. And you see that little concept seeping in of, hey Jude, it's all about you. And you get to make the rules. You get to set it up. And you get to do what you want to do. Now, if you remember when we talked about naturalism, we read the lyrics, I think I actually played it for you, a song that John Lennon wrote, Imagine There Was No Heaven, Imagine There Was No Religion, and so forth. And that really does describe the concept of naturalism or humanism. This is somewhat like that, but it's really, really a good core, I think, to help us understand the concept of the New Age movement. You may remember the song, The Yellow Submarine, and just listen to the lyrics if you must, and think, what in the world is that about? And so you can see some of that seeping into that. And then, of course, one of the famous songs, Lucy in the Sky, which so many people said, aha, that is the, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, that was used to depict LSD. And you might remember Lennon said, no, I didn't even realize it symbolized LSD, or that the initials would spell that out after the fact. Who knows? But the point is, you get some of that New Age part kind of seeping in, and you really can go back to the 60s where you see people starting to say there are no absolutes, you are your own God, you make your own rules and so forth. And really, you can go back and you can trace it to some of the things that you can even see in some of these lyrics here. Now, at the same time, you see the Beatles being influenced by Hinduism and Buddhism and so forth. In the United States and throughout Western Europe, you see the rise of Darwinism, and you see more folks saying you can describe how we are through natural selection. And so what you see is people saying there's no need for a God. And then you see some of these concepts of Hinduism and Buddhism, some of these Eastern religions coming in, and folks are like, you know, well, that could be our God. That's the God that we would follow and look at. About that time, you see Carlos Constata come along, and he popularized the term consciousness. And those of you who lived through the 60s, and we're not going to point you out, but those of you who did, you probably remember that whole concept of consciousness coming up, and people talking about an altered consciousness and so forth. And Carlos Constata wrote a book called Don Juan, The Teachings of Don Juan. And you may or may not be able to see this cover of this book, but what you can see, perhaps, is some of the influence of sorcery. And so he's also a fellow who wrote a lot about or a lot of his writings are used to propel the whole concept of New Age. This next picture is supposed to depict this alternate consciousness that we have. And so either with Eastern religions or because we're not going to follow some of the religions like Christianity, they would say, you've got to go or get to this whole concept of a new consciousness. And so psychology is not all bad, but they would use, or they did use, some of the psychologists were influenced by this. You may know about Abraham Maslow, when he talked about the self-actualization, and here's his psychology of needs, and at the top of that was self-realization. And so when you talk about this altered consciousness, part of the goal of the New Age movement was to realize, you know, it really is all about me. And so I must get in touch with myself. I must figure out who I am and get to this altered state of consciousness, and then I will be somewhat happy. You can look at other psychologists like Carl Rogers, and he practiced a very non-directive approach. And so you might go to him and you would say, I'm really feeling bad. And he would say, so you're really feeling bad? You say, yes, I really am. I'm really feeling bad. And so he'd say, oh, so you're really feeling bad. And you say, hey, will you tell me something? Don't just echo what I say. So what you want me to do is to tell you what to do and not just say what you say. And so in other words, if I can help you figure out who you are and be actualized, I can help you alone. So Carl Rogers was one of those, and another one was Rollo May. And so within the field there, you would see some of this New Age stuff starting to drift into psychology and having an influence there. In addition, you saw LSD, and that's something that whatever the song about Lucy was about, which I'm not sure, but whatever that was about, the Beatles did acknowledge that they used LSD. And even if you go to the universities, you would see that sanctioned. So this particular picture here is showing two nurses, and they're working with guys that they're actually giving LSD to. And so they're trying to experiment and see if they can get to this altered consciousness. And you'll even hear people talk about that, or people have talked in the past about it being a trip. So I go on the trip and I find myself in this altered consciousness. Now I'm going to show you some pictures of some people and give you some names. And you may say, I don't know who these people are, but I'm just trying to show you how the New Age movement has seeped into other areas of academia. This particular picture here is of a fellow by the name of Thomas Rozak. And Thomas Rozak was working in the field of sociology. And so you can see that he was influenced by the New Age movement, and so then that in turn influenced his teachings. Another fellow by the name of George Leonard was influenced by it, and if you'll notice, he's on the cover of this New Age magazine. And he's asking the question, what's better than instant gratification? George Leonard on the joys of mastery. And so whereas you and I would say we need to delay instant gratification, in other words, as we talk to our children, we say you wait until you're married to someone before you would be intimate to them, George would come along and say, oh, no, no. You want to do something, you go right ahead and do it. And so he's saying that's how one becomes actualized, or that's how one reaches this altered consciousness. And so he's a sociologist, and what you see is that becomes part of the teaching in academia and so forth. Here's another guy who's a British professor. His name is William Irvin Thompson, and he talked about studies in the evolution of culture, self, and society. And so you see that same concept of you think about what you want to make your own self happy, and the concept of you are your own God. And so you're just trying to find who you are and satisfy yourself. I mentioned just a moment ago Carlos Constata and the book that he wrote that had a lot of influence on the New Age movement, how he explored and looked at sorcery, especially down, I believe, in South America. But a few years ago, he was actually, or this concept that he's put out was on the cover of Time magazine. And if you'll see, you can see some of the occult influence. You can also see some of this idea about the altered consciousness. But also notice they talk about magic and reality. And so what you see with the New Age movement is it's almost like a rejection of modernism. That didn't satisfy, that didn't please. And so they're saying we're agreeing that Darwin, as Darwin said, that we come from natural selection through evolution, but we also want to have our own religion. And so we're looking at magical things, we're looking at our own alternate reality and so forth, and that becomes their religion, if you will. You keep on going, and this is kind of surprising to me a little bit, but you can see even in areas like physics, this book on the left, The Seat of the Soul, is written by Gary Zukav, and he talks about how about physics from a New Age standpoint. And then this guy on the right, Lewis Thomas, and you can probably tell from the cover of this book, you can see where he's saying, I follow evolution. He's got a cell there. He's got a well and so forth, and he's trying to picture evolution there. But he as well talks about the New Age movement, and he has let that seep into his teachings and what he talks about when he gets into biology. And so as you think about the New Age movement, we have a tendency to think about people like Shirley MacLaine. It's not just people like that. It's folks that are in academia. It's folks that are movers and shakers or influencers, if you will, of society. And you can also look at society and see how it's influenced others. An example of that is acupuncture. So I don't know if you've practiced acupuncture or not, but sometimes you could go to some pain clinics and they would say, well, how about some acupuncture? Well, that's kind of a New Age thing. Now, you can look at it and you can say physically where this influences this and you're trying to take pain and transfer it from here, but it's part of one of these Eastern teachings that's kind of seeped in and has influenced its own in different areas. Here's something else called Rolfing, and you might have seen that. It's Ask Dr. Oz. There's Oprah in the background, and they're actually doing this Rolfing. And even some people would say they would take massage or they would take touch or something like that, and they would use that. You might have heard of psychic healing. And so with psychic healing, and I don't know if you can see this or not, it says a complete guide to healing yourself, healing others, and healing the earth. And so that's where New Age has seeped in and said, you know, you can heal yourself. You can heal other people, and we can heal the earth. And so when you hear that term or that phrase, healing the earth, what does that remind you of? The environment, right? And you do see a lot of influence when we talk about the environment. You can see within the Sierra Club a lot of influence of New Agers there and the Green Party. You can see a lot of influence of them there as well. Now, how many of you have ever seen the movie 2001? It was it was based on a novel by Arthur Clarke, and you can look at Arthur Clarke and you might think Arthur's different from us because it looks like he's got some sort of skirt on or something. So you look at it immediately and you say, well, Arthur is dressing differently than what you and I think of as dressing. And what you see here is he's depicting kind of an Eastern dress, if you will. But he wrote a book called 2001, and Kubrick, there you go. His name is up there. Stanley Kubrick turned that into a film. And I believe that was around 1968, if you've ever seen it. And I've not, but I've seen a little snippet of it, and it's just a little bit different, okay? The other, and the point of that is they're getting out some of their New Age ideas are coming out in the book. Maybe you've not heard of the movie 2001 or the novel, but how many of you have ever heard of this one? Anybody in here heard of Star Wars? Okay, we're in better shape there. Star Wars, you can see some of this New Age thinking coming out in the movie Star Wars, and that's showing you something about the influence there of New Agers into Hollywood and so forth. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Even things like Kung Fu and some of the martial arts and things like yoga and anything dealing with movement and so forth, you'll see from time to time, you'll see some of this New Age influence there. So what I want you to think about in your mind is this. New Age is not something that is unusual or rare. It is a worldview, and it's a fairly popular worldview today, and it's a lot more popular today than it was in the 60s, and it's probably going to be a lot more popular in the next 10 or 20 years. And so for you and I, we want to say, well, what do they think and what do they believe? And first of all, what do they believe about God? Well, first of all, they believe in pantheism. So God is in the chair. God is in the table. God is in the tree. God is in you. God is in me. God is everywhere and so forth. And so they would adhere to pantheism. Secondly is God is an impersonal force or principle. What is the big phrase or the big saying that jumps out to you when you think about Star Wars? May the what be with you? May the force be with you. Okay? So God is an impersonal force or principle. And so that's getting to this transcendent identity or this alternate reality or whatever, but hopefully the force is going to be with you. Hopefully you will realize that you yourself are your own God and may the force be with you. Self is God or the prime reality. So you are it. You are the big deal. And so it's all about you. And what you see is there's no emphasis on a God that we can know or that we can have a personal relationship with or that put us all here or that made us or anything like that. What about humans? Essentially good with unlimited potential. So when you're talking to a new ager, they're thinking, you know, if Libya can just get rid of that Gaddafi, and if Libya can just do, the Libyan people can do whatever they want, then people will naturally become good. If we would just put people in the right environment, or we would just leave people alone, and they would turn out to be okay. And so, kind of like at the ultimate end, essentially, people are good with unlimited potential. Whereas we think of folks as being sinners and left to their own devices, that things get worse and worse. Number two, must raise God consciousness through various mediums. And so they think that the goal is to help you to figure out who it is that you are. And so that may be using drugs like LSD. That may be using meditation. It may be using biofeedback or some sort of ritualized dance or certain kinds of music or channeling through a seance. Or it may be using crystals. Each of these, they would say, are a door to help you to your God consciousness to figure out who you are and to figure out what you are and to find or to reach the force, if you will. Another thing we would say is a cosmic consciousness is the ultimate goal. A cosmic consciousness is the ultimate goal. Shirley MacLaine wrote, "I was learning to recognize the invisible dimensions where there are no measurements possible. In fact, it is the dimension of no height, no width, no breadth, no mass, and a matter of further fact, no time." You hear what she's saying? Now, you say, well, that's crazy talk. Well, hold on now. What she's saying is there's no limits, you know. There's no measurement. There's no time. And so as you think about what she's saying, think about where people are coming from and what they believe and so forth because of that. Now, I want to show you a clip from Star Wars here for a moment. And just watch it. I may talk a little bit as we're going through it. But watch what he's doing here as Obi Kenobi is teaching Luke Skywalker. So he's trying to teach him how to do things with his mind. Will it play a little bit more, Anthony? Or did it end right there? Okay, all right. And he comes back and at the end, and actually Obi Kenobi lifts that up with his own mind. And Luke Skywalker, and you may remember this, Luke Skywalker says, well, why couldn't I do it? And he said, because you didn't try. In other words, you were not in touch with the Force. But what kind of jumps out to your mind when you saw that and you listened to it? Anything jump out to you? Okay, all right. It seems weird to Miss Marjorie. Now, did you say that in 19... Well, anyway, it seems weird. What are some of the phrases that jump out to your mind? All right, so the Force is all around you. Now, that's important because that also means they would believe in a spirit world all around us and channeling the dead and this kind of business all around us and angels and spiritual beings and so forth. What else jumps out to you? I thought I heard. What did you say? Did you say it? Okay, so it does remind you of Satanism. That's where the ultimate power would come from. Okay. And I'm going to read you one of the statements. He said, you must unlearn what you have learned. Wonder what he's got to unlearn. And wonder what we would have to unlearn. And so what you see is Christianity is, and they would also say other religions limit us. And they would say, you can't accomplish, or we can't be, or we can't do, because we've learned certain things. And I take you back to John Lennon's song, imagine there was no heaven. Imagine there was no religion. And so that's a real telling song, because he's saying, this religion is limiting you and your ability to achieve and what you could be. Another thing he said is, don't say, do, right? And so we look, and so you're going to find that little clip is shown in a lot of different places because they'll say, this is very uplifting and this is very encouraging. And so they're saying, don't say I'm going to try, but this is what I'm going to do. And if one puts their mind to it and they get channeled in, they will, they can, because they are their own little God. And then the key thing is, though, its energy surrounds us. And you've got to be able to feel it. So that's one of the goals is, you've got to be able to channel in to the energy and so forth. So what about the New Age movement and their view about Jesus? They think he was neat, you know. In other words, they do not see him as the one true God. They see him as a God. They see him as a spiritual model or guru. They would say he rose into a higher realm of consciousness. Wouldn't say he rose from the grave, but he achieved a higher level of consciousness. But they would also say you could do that as well. What about sin? They would say sin is the absence of enlightenment. So really they wouldn't talk about sin, but they would say you do bad things or you hurt people because you're not enlightened. So if we could just educate you enough or put you in the right environment or the right situation, you would be okay. You would be all right. Reincarnation. So this is coming from the Eastern religions, but whereas the Eastern religion said, if you do, your good's got to outweigh your bad, or you get into a terrible cycle with reincarnation. Reincarnation is a positive part of the cosmic evolution cycle. So they would see it more as a positive thing. And then humanity moves toward ultimate consciousness and the age of Aquarius. And so that's where we're at, they would say. We're into this new age of Aquarius, and that humanity is moving toward an ultimate consciousness. And so they would say that we're going to get, or we could get, better and better, perhaps if it weren't for all those religious people. What about ethics? The self defines good and evil. So you define what is good and you define what is evil. There are no moral absolutes, except that there are no moral absolutes, you see. And then any behavior can become justifiable. And I'm going to show you one more. This is a short clip from Star Wars. You may remember it if you've seen the movie. where Han Solo realizes that he's been lied to. All right, so what jumps out to you from that particular clip? Anything? Cam? So really he's got him with the truth comes from your, in other words, whatever your point of view is, that's what would be the truth. Good. What else jumps out to you? So you see moral relativism is really showing up there. And then just the concept of this fellow who's dead coming back and showing you the way. So that would be that's part of the process as well. These things around us, this spirit world around us instructs us if we can just get in tune to it and we can listen to it and hear from it. This next slide talks about the New Age as counterfeit faith. And so think about really what's going on is people are taking the New Age movement and they're actually letting it fill into their lives as their own type of spirituality instead of embracing something real. And as I go through this, I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And in fact, I'm going to ask a couple of readers to do that. Cam, could you read Ephesians 6:12 in a little bit? And who else would like to read for us tonight? Just put your hand up. I'm going to need another reader for John chapter 14, verse 6. So, Jason, why don't you read John 14, verse 6, and then Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Robert, I'll get you to read Acts 4, verse 12. But let's kind of go through this for a minute. So you've got evolutionary optimism that we're going to get better and better if we can just achieve. But basically what you and I look at is we will not get better. In fact, things will get worse. And so what we are looking forward to is the return of Christ who will set things in order and make things right. Christ's kingdom is the answer to that evolutionary optimism. They follow monism, which is a counterfeit cosmos or a counterfeit world, if you will. All is one. This chair is God. I am God. You are God. And what you and I would say is, no, God has created a world that's full of diversity, that's got animals in it, it's got atoms that are separate from us, and angels and spiritual beings as well. The counterfeit aspect is pantheism. So that is a counterfeit God. He's in chairs, he's in animals, he's in plants, and so forth. But we see God as being personal, and we see humans are not divine. They're looking for a transformation of consciousness. And we say, no, you've got to have a conversion, a true conversion. And that is where you realize that you fall short and you need a personal God who will save you. They would say you create your own reality. We would say that's a counterfeit morality. And what we want to do is look at the biblical morality that we see in Scripture and adhere and follow the God that is there. They would say you've got unlimited human potential. And we would say humans are limited by sin. And so you look at places where humans are isolated, and you're not going to find some kind of utopia. You're going to find places like where Christianity has been more influential than others. You're going to see societies in a better shape or a better situation than it is in others that are not, less depraved and so forth. As far as spiritual contact, they're looking at counterfeit revelations, if you will, falling into occult practices, and you'll find that associated with the New Age movement. Cam, read Ephesians 6, verse 12 for us, please. So if you're looking for the influence around you, you will find it, but it's not what you're wanting. And so that's something that can be tapped into, but it's a bad thing. Masters from above, they could follow counterfeit angels. They make claims of UFOs and extraterrestrial sightings and so forth and say that validates their teachings about self and consciousness. But we would say that counteracts Scripture. And then they adhere to religious synchronism. And basically, that's saying, you know, there's some truth in all religions. And so who is it that's reading John 14, verse 6? All right, read that for us, Jason. So we would say religions are not equal, that God is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. And Acts 4, verse 12, that's you, Robert, isn't it? All right. So that's making it clear you can't just pick and choose which parts of religion that you want to have. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. And after you get to Galatians chapter 5, I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 5. So first we'll turn to Galatians 5, and then we will turn to Matthew chapter 5. As you're turning there, I want to talk to you about bridges we can make to folks who are adhering to and following the New Age movement. And one bridge, I think, is one that's talked about by Randall Baer. And here's a picture that Anthony's put up of a book he's wrote, Inside the New Age Nightmare. And in this book, he says, I testify to you in love and compassion. So he's reaching out the adherents of the New Age movement. And he's saying, in love and compassion, that what I found when I accepted Jesus as my Savior and personal Savior, as my Lord and my personal Savior, opened my eyes to seeing truth in a totally different way. He says, in a much grander way than anything I ever knew in the New Age. What I have experienced as a Christian far surpasses even the most incredible, mind-blowing, mystical experiences I had as a New Ager. So he's writing this book and saying, listen, you may have this altered consciousness that you reach through meditation or crystals or drugs or this or that, but he's saying it is nothing compared to what happens to you when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And so one of the bridges you and I can have with New Agers is to build relationships with them and to help them see what Christianity is all about. Who will read for me Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23? All right, read that, Barbara. Okay. So it is clear that if one is a believer, there is a difference in their life. They have love, they have joy, they have peace, and so forth. And so what we're trying to help them see is all this, these alls, the spectacular, these things they're looking for that are not going to satisfy, they'll find in Jesus Christ, and they're not going to find the New Age movement. Now look at Matthew chapter 5 real quickly. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And first of all, the Lord says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You wouldn't think it would be that way, but "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn." That doesn't sound right, but "those who are sorry for their sins, blessed are they, are happy, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek." You would think that the proud are the ones that are over everybody and have all the power. But what He says is, the meek are going to inherit the earth. Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." We saw on the cover of the New Age magazine, he said, look how you can find happiness by not delaying gratification. In other words, by doing whatever you want to do. But the Bible says those who seek after righteousness, those are the people that are going to be satisfied. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart." They don't do everything they want to do, but they make Jesus the Lord of their life. "For they shall see God, the God." Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they shall for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." Now these next two verses, I believe, show us how we have to make a bridge to these folks. Blessed are, or look at verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. The city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden." So our bridge is to show them the truth and to be salt to them and light to them so they find the way. Bridge number two, and turn back to John 18 for just a moment. Bridge number two is to help them see that there is a truth and the dangers of us defining our own ethical system. And just look, if you will, there at verse 38. He says to him, "What is truth?" And the point is, there is truth. There are measurements. There are absolutes. And we see that in other areas of life. And so you and I want to, when someone looks at us and says, "What is truth?" we want to be able to turn around and we want to be able to share with them and we want to tell them, this is the truth and there is truth, and help them to see the danger of thinking that there isn't one. Then we've got bridge number three, and that is focus on the spirit world and freedom from occult bondage. Because if one continues on in this particular way, they will find things they do not want to find. Bridge number four points to the ultimate satisfaction in Jesus, and that's John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill and to steal, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And so they say, if we can reach this ultimate consciousness, we'll be happy. No, no. Jesus is the one that brings ultimate satisfaction and would bring what we would call true joy. And then bridge number four, pointing them to the ultimate satisfaction that comes from Jesus. This self-centeredness is not going to cut it. Only through Jesus do you find the kind of abundant life that you and I can have in Him. One last passage I want you to look at, and that's in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Turn there for just a moment. What's so fascinating is that folks who say we evolved and folks who want to hold on to naturalism or humanism with one hand have turned around and have embraced these kind of Eastern religion, if you will, on the other hand. And so I think what has happened is people are saying, nope, the only things you can see, only things you can measure exist. And so what happens is there's a vacuum, a spiritual vacuum. So then they reach out. They try to find this fulfillment in these with the New Age movement and so forth. But I want you to see this is not a new problem. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I want you to look at verse 9. It says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. So he's saying, the people you're going in to displace them from their country, they did these things. Don't you do it. Verse 13, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. What I want you to think about is how this thinking has seeped into our culture. You could go back, and I'm not going to do this because that's an awful long movie, that Star Wars movie, but you could go back and watch it, and you can see this. You can see this kind of New Age thinking. You can see it being portrayed in the movie. The Force is with you. You know, it's the truth is from whichever reality you view it from, and so forth. And so what you see is this thinking is really permeates a lot of what you and I see today. Any questions or comments?